From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. Just hours after world leaders announced a deal to push an end to the hostilities in Syria within a week, the agreement is being put to some test. In an interview published Friday, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad told the French news agency AFP his forces plan to retake the whole country, fueling doubts about the party's commitment to end the nearly five-year-old conflict. In announcing the deal to push for a pause in hostilities, U.S. officials have been cautious in their expectations. At the same time of the ceasefire deal, the International Support Group for Syria pledged to help speed aid. Jan Eglin is chairman of the Task Force on Humanitarian Access in Syria.
Convoys can go very soon if and when we have the permission and the green light from the parties. And that's what we expect to get now, because we hope to see really the action taken by the members of the ISSG who have influence on both the government and the armed opposition groups.
Aid agency chiefs say the humanitarian deal covered only part of what is needed, with UN forces, or figures that is, indicating almost 487,000 people under siege among the 4.6 million who are hard to reach with aid, as well as 5 million refugees and millions more homeless within Syria. The government of Rwanda says it is going to relocate refugees from Burundi to other countries after accusations from U.S. diplomats of Rwanda's training rebels opposed to Burundi's government. Political violence in Burundi has now killed more than 400 people and sent hundreds of thousands fleeing to other countries, some of them to Rwanda. This is VOA News. Pakistan has announced it has dismantled al-Qaeda's main network in South Asia. VOA's Ayesha Tanzim has details.
Pakistan announced Friday that it has broken a regional nexus of al-Qaeda with local militant groups and arrested 97 militants. The spokesman for Pakistan's army, Lieutenant General Asim Bajwa, told media al-Qaeda was collaborating with banned group Lashkar-e-Jhangvi in Pakistan's port city, Karachi. He said together the two groups carried out all the big attacks in Karachi. They were also getting support from Pakistani Taliban. The 97 arrests included the deputy chief of al-Qaeda in the Indian subcontinent, along with the group's financiers and explosives experts. The busted groups were planning to attack a jail and break out 100 prisoners, including Khalid Umar Sheikh, who was involved in the killing of Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Pearl in 2002. The plan, the spokesman said, was 90% ready for execution when it was stopped. Ayesha Tanzim, VOA News, Islamabad.
Thousands cheered and gave a warm welcome to Pope Francis when he stepped out of his plane in Mexico City Friday night. It is his first official visit to the heavily Catholic country. Pope Francis arrived in Mexico hours after he and the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, Patriarch Kirill, signed a joint declaration for religious unity. Their historic meeting was aimed at healing the thousand-year-old rift between the Western and Eastern branches of Christianity. In the U.S., Republicans and Democrats in Congress have agreed on tough action on North Korea after a series of provocations by Pyongyang. Legislation directly targets a number of people, including anyone involved in the nuclear weapons program. It also would impose secondary sanctions against any outlets that support and finance North Korea's aggression. The bill would authorize $10 million annually for 5 years to expand North Korean citizens' access to media and to provide humanitarian aid to refugees. U.S. presidential hopefuls are appealing to minority and evangelical Christian voters as they enter a critical two-week stretch in the primary election battle. Republican presidential candidates appeared Friday at a Faith and Family Forum at the fundamentalist Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Meanwhile, Democratic presidential candidates focused on wooing minority voters during a feisty but substantive debate on Thursday. And for the first time in 50 years, people in the U.S. and Cuba soon will be able to fly regularly scheduled commercial airliners between the two countries. Under a new agreement, up to 110 flights a day will be allowed.
That's the latest world news from VOA.